Women Podcast, where we get real advice straight from the source. It's Marnie and Carney.
It is Marnie and Carney.
Our names rhyme, and everyone's like, you should say Marnie and Carney.
I think we should, moving forward. I have to tell you, you were away for the past couple of weeks, and I am horrible at introducing the show.
It's awkward. No matter, people on TV and hosts, they make it look so natural. And I was just watching the Oscars, of course, this weekend, pretending in my mind that I was there.
Right.
And they just are so natural and so, this is normal. But when you're doing it, it feels so foreign.
Yeah.
It feels like you're speaking another language.
Well, actually, our guest for today is a very experienced host. Who has actually, I think she's been at the Oscars and the Golden Globes, all those things. And even when I watch her, she's just like so natural. But I wonder if she also has insecurities.
Samantha Gusta.
Can I do an intro for you guys for the show?
Because
it's like a really excitable intro. Okay.
Because pump,
do it.
There are guests up.
It's Marnie and Carney and Samantha for the Ask Women podcast.
See? I want to listen to that show. I was very excited to listen to what she had to say. That was very good, Samantha.
Yay.
That was awesome.
Thanks,
well, thank you for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're wonderful. You know, you're a friend of mine from Toronto, but you're also a very talented host and actress and producer.
And super pretty.
Oh, and you do a lot of shit. You do a lot of stuff. You work for Nylon.
I do.
You do comedy stuff. You do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of stuff. And you're also a woman, which is
great. I am a woman.
Yes, and you're going to help us educate the men who are listening to this show.
I'm a woman who dated men.
You did date men. Well, I have a quick little announcement before we move on to, you know, our discussion for the day and answering questions from listeners. But I have been listening to other podcasts recently, and a lot of them are in the dating and relationship realm. And this one podcast that I've been listening to, I don't want to promote them because I don't want anybody else going to listen to other shows, obviously. But they did something really interesting where they did a 10-part series where the experts on the show actually coached one individual every episode for those 10 episodes. And it was like a week apart.
We tried to do that a little bit. We had the one guy in. And I think we flamed out on it.
No, I think he didn't follow
up.
We're like
a shooting star. Yeah. We like flame out super fast.
We have good ideas.
It takes like light years for us to actually do it. And then we do it and it's just like there and gone.
Right. That's exactly
it's
how
just,
we are.
It's gone.
Yeah. That's how the whole world is. Okay. Well, here's the wish that I'm going
to
make. The wish is that we have somebody who's listening to this show who preferably would live in Los Angeles so they could be live in studio. But if not, somebody that could commit to being on our show for 5 consecutive weeks. And I think that's what we didn't do last time because the guy that was on our show.
Oh, it's the same person every week.
It would be the same person every single week.
I thought you meant the
person. No. We're going to coach him through the process and we're going to give him exercises, assignments. We're going to give him female feedback from our guests, from our male guests that are on as well, or other experts that are on the show, whoever's on that week. We're going to give that guy every tool that he needs to be extremely successful with women. And then in the week between each
or just
episode.
Moderately not terrible.
Right, exactly. That's all you can aim for in the very beginning, right? But in that week between, that guy has to go out and be proactive. And I'll be there to coach him through that process through my email coaching program and also talking on the phone. And then he'll be amazing by the end of our 5 weeks. So anyway, my point is that I want one of you who are listening to our show to be that guy. Again, preferably, I would love if you live in Los Angeles, you could be live in studio with us at Playboy Radio, but we are open to anybody who is willing to commit 5 weeks of their life to changing their lives with women.
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay. So write into ask at Ask Women Podcast. And the title or the subject title of the email you're writing to is Help a Brother Out.
Even if you're an only child, you can still use that
title. Still, it's great.
Exactly. Okay. So
and
now,
actually, I'm sorry, before you go into that, I want to just say thank you because I was thinking about it because I've been asking people to donate to my Indiegogo campaign. And I thought it would be really rude if I just kept asking and then never said thank you on the air.
Yeah.
I did write people emails saying thank you, but I just wanted to say on the air, thank you for donating to everyone who has donated.
Did you raise
donated.
Your money?
I'm only asking for $2,500 and I'm at like $1,500 or like.
That's amazing.
Getting there.
And I still have about a month to go.
How many people from the show contributed?
I would say probably like 15.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who has donated. And it's funny because I knew it was people from the show who started donating because it was like Virgin Islands, the UK, like Germany. It was all of a sudden the
Right.
That's where the
world
donations
was coming
came
together
from,
to give you money.
Just like Los Angeles.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So thank you so much. It's so awesome. And I appreciate it so much. And I just want to say, still keep doing it because
yes,
I still have
$1,000
to go. And we have a lot of listeners. So if you guys like donated, if everyone just donated $1, I would be there by now.
You'd be short by $20. I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, we have a lot of listeners.
I'd be short by $100. Yeah. We don't have many listeners. So please, 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 if you've enjoyed me on the show or if you can help a sister out, that'd be awesome. And I do have siblings, so I can say that.
Exactly.
And thank you so much.
One other thing. I recently asked for our numbers through Playboy. I'm pretty shocked at how many people listen to us. Like, yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's people, weird.
Like, don't be shocked. You're good.
I mean, we're good. But, like, it's just so interesting to me that people tune in every week. And yeah, it absolutely makes, I'm sure, both of us feel amazing that people want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So here's something that I have to say. So I have been reading,
I'm sorry, this, I have to give my link to donate.
Oh yeah, go, go, go.
It's igg.com/
it's a 974.
It is. They give you the worst
what
link.
Is, that's horrible.
It's like
that's
the code to get onto my internet at my house.
Yeah.
Can I make a pretty link for you so that we can say wingirlmethod.com/
Sure.
Give Kristen money. Okay, so
because
I'm going to say that.
It's weird. If I could redo it, I would probably go to a different website because this is the closest they would give me to like...
Exclamation.
Yeah, it is. So IGG.com, that's Indiegogo.
Yeah.
IGG.com/AT/ I forgot what it is. Just go to my...
Wingirlmethod.com/givekristenmoney.
Okay,
how about that? And
perfect.
I will make a link for you.
Awesome. Thank
Wingirlmethod.com/givekristenmoney.
KRISTEN.
Yes. Oh, shoot. One more announcement. In 2 weeks, we have Howie Mandel coming on the show. And it's
awesome.
Going to be awesome. I mean, not that you're not awesome. You are absolutely
amazing.
Yeah,
but amazing.
Come on.
You're
Canadian, too.
Howie Mandel's kind of a cooler Canadian than I am right now.
So many Canadians. And we have his trainer coming on our show, too, separately, which is weird and random and not planned at all. So
interesting. Yeah. All the worlds are coming together. Okay, so we're going to dive into content now for this show. So I've been reading this book from one of our guests who came on our show. I'm a slow reader, obviously, because this guest was on our show probably 6 months ago when we were still at Sideshow. But I picked it up last night, and I thought it was interesting. The book is Attract and Seduce, a 4-step system for attracting beautiful women, high-caliber women, and becoming the most interesting guy in the room by Byron Seingold. Do you remember who that was?
No.
They were the two guys who worked with Neil Strauss who came in. He had a big like bun on
oh,
top
man
of his
bun.
Head.
That's not really
the
real
bun.
Name. Yes.
No, it's a fake name.
It's two guys. Yeah.
So I've been reading. So I wanted to read a little excerpt from the book, and then I wanted to talk about it because I think that like what they're talking about in this book, a lot of points are amazing, and I'm sure I'll read several points over the next coming weeks. But one point I wanted to bring up is about identity storytelling. Have you ever heard that before?
Never heard of that.
Okay. Well, I always ask Kristen about, like, you know, how do you tell stories and how can you be funny? And, you know, sometimes it is really difficult to tell somebody how you do something that comes so naturally coming from you. So this is like an easy way to think about storytelling and why it's so important when you're talking with women. So I'm just going to read it to you. Identity storytelling is a technique in which you share your own authentic insights, experiences, opinions, and learning in an emotional way that makes you interesting, intriguing, and entertaining. You might think, but I'm not interesting. I don't have anything interesting to say. Wrong. Even when someone has never experienced anything exciting, they can still have insights and wisdom about life. Let me explain. Identity stories can be anything. Your hobbies, the places you visited, events in your life, your job, your friends, your preferences, your goals, anything. So the point of this is saying that, like, you may think, I'm not interesting. I have nothing to talk to women about. Even if we're meeting for the first time, I don't even know where to start. But what this is saying is that anything can be made interesting. It's how you think about it and how you talk about it and how you express that to the individuals around you. So now I'm going to teach you about how to express your stories in a way. Yeah.
Well, cool. I always relate things on our show
to Seinfeld.
And this reminds me of a scene where George talks about the word manure. And
I remember that.
You know the scene. And he's like, he finds the word manure to be like a great word. He's like, it's ma and newer. Yeah. Ma's are great and so is newer. And he's like expressing it in such a positive, happy way. Of course, she like all of a sudden they're on a walk and she's like, oh, you know what? I got this watch from my boyfriend or something. And she had never mentioned her boyfriend before. And it's because he was so happy and expressive about the word manure. But it's all about the way you talk about something.
But this didn't work for him. Why are you bringing up this example?
Because you can make something interesting. And he thought he was like, I was, you know, talking and making something cool. And it was all about the word manure. But he was using that technique.
But that's good to know that from shit, you can make something interesting.
Right. Manure.
I like it. Okay. So the identity storytelling exercise. So this is something that everybody can do. And even like for us, I think it's a good thing to remember. I think Kristen does this really naturally. And I think you do too, Sam, actually. Here is a three-step exercise called identity storytelling that will help you learn to express your identity while simultaneously learning basic storytelling structure. Three-step to storytelling, to telling an identity story. Number one, start at the beginning. Think about a topic that you'll want to talk about, what you're going to say, and practice by introducing your stories with a feeling and an experience of preference. Here are some examples. The most interesting adventure I ever went on was. My favorite band is. The most influential person I ever met was. My favorite bar is. The movie I love the most is. Okay, so these are just like cool topics that may mean something to you. They're not super exciting topics, but they're ways to start a conversation about things that are common to other people and things that can be personal for you.
I feel like movies are always a great conversation starter because it always gives you an insight into like someone's personality too.
For sure.
Because someone could be like, my favorite movie was Zoolander. And someone else could be like, my favorite movie was Pride and Prejudice. And you're going to get totally two different personality types whose favorite movie is Zoolander and whose favorite movie is like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. And someone hated one of those movies passionately or something like that. All of a sudden you can start some sort of banter at least.
Yeah.
Like, for example, just now I was coming down in my building and I live on the fourth floor and my below neighbor is of course on the third floor because I can count.
Yeah.
And he has had a couple issues with the noise that we make. It's not us. It's the building. It's a shitty building. We're just walking. Yeah. Anyway, the elevator stopped on 3 and I'm always like, oh, don't be my neighbor. Don't be my neighbor. And it's him. And we happened to be at the movie theater the other day he was there and I was like, oh shoot, we're probably going to see the same movie because we were there at the same time. And of course we were. And of course we were in the same row. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And we were both seeing Hail Caesar because I'm a Christian. I can't say Jesus.
Oh, really?
Well, I always say Jesus.
Oh, I never even noticed that. Something new to learn about you.
Yeah, I don't.
Hashtag Jesus.
Yeah, I always
I didn't
say Jesus.
Jew. It's great. No idea.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I can't say the Lord's name in vain.
I didn't know that.
Well, sometimes I do when I'm angry, but anyways.
I can definitely say it in vain.
So in the elevator just now, he was like, so what do you think about Hail Caesar? And I really liked it.
I did not see it.
Some people didn't like it at all. It got mixed reviews. And he was like, oh, I didn't really like it. And it was like, oh, here we go on like another thing we're going to clash on. And at least it got us talking in the elevator. So it was an awkward silence.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's like you never know what's going to start a conversation.
Yeah. And the thing is that you might hear something interesting from the person who you may not like for X, Y, and Z, but you may hear something that you can relate to or can connect.
Right, because he was like, oh, the earlier Coen Brothers stuff was better.
Yeah,
and
I like
Coen Brothers stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I like the Coen Brothers. So you might find a common ground.
Well, I want to see that movie. I forgot.
That banter.
It's a banter.
It's like an icebreaker, right?
Yeah. Just because you connect with somebody doesn't mean you have to agree on every single
thing.
It's actually better if you don't agree. There's more interest. Obviously, you want to have similar values.
But it's boring if you're like, that was good. Yeah,
yes,
that was good.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Conversation ends.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely over. Okay, so number two, lead their emotions when telling the story. Here's the only thing you need to remember about identity storytelling. Don't talk about your story technically, and this is where a lot of men have difficulty, and I see this quite often with guys that I work with. Talk about it as an experience and include the emotions it evoked. Let's assume you like a band, Metallica. Don't say to a woman, my favorite band is Metallica because I love the lyrics and I think the guitarist is awesome. Okay? Can you tell me why that's not good? Like what?
Well, there's not much to go on there. It's like, okay, you know, the guitarist is awesome and I like the lyrics. I would want to know if they have a favorite song and what the lyrics make them feel.
Maybe they had a memory of a certain concert mm-hmm. and it evoked, again, like some fun night and that turns into a story.
Yeah.
Something like that where you have somewhere to go and you get more insight into their personality as opposed to just like the technical, which right. is what.
Well, you know, when, if, okay, so if you were talking
dry.
To a guy. Too dry.
And
there's nothing end. There. Yeah, there's completely dead end. Yeah. There's nowhere to go with that conversation unless the woman then takes the lead and says, what did you like about the guitarist? Tell me more about you, stranger, who I do not have any interest in so far.
Right.
So it becomes really challenging for women because they don't know where to go with it. Like most women, I would say, would look at you and be like, and? Like, yeah. continue if you want to finish what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. So this says, why is this bad? Because it doesn't explore your identity or create any emotional response. In this example, I'm selling you the band and not myself. So basically anybody could say those
right.
things.
Right.
They mean nothing. You know, all three of us could say that exact same statement. By reading,
especially if you're going to say the band Metallica, then I'm going to think, oh, are you angry?
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, you got to give some substance.
Have you
to
been
it?
Hurt? Yeah. Is your brain hurt in a mosh pit at some point? Right. You know,
at least explain that right. then. Like, right. when, oh, and I was like moshing in the pit. Like, I love the fact that I could feel it through my body.
I killed a guy once in a mosh pit. Right. Like something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By reading it, you learn very little about me. In seduction, you're selling yourself. In identity storytelling, you are expressing your identity with every word and action. Instead, say something like this. My favorite band is Metallica because listening to them inspired me to pick up the guitar and start playing. And that's something that you
that's
can comment
cool.
on. That's cool. Exactly.
Like, oh, what are you playing guitar? How long have you played for? That's a conversation
yeah,
starter.
It helps move conversation along. So they're tiny little tweaks. But so when in conversation with women, if you can think of it as not talking about your story technically, but talking about it as an experience and include emotions it evoked. So really asking yourself the why behind why you made that statement. Okay, why do you like Metallica? And that really gets your brain to automatically go into a place where you can elaborate and explain why you have that thought or those feelings. And some of those emotions are naturally going to come out of you anyway. If you ask yourself why in your head. So in this example, the band inspired you to do something. The woman learns at least two things about you. You play guitar. You were inspired by Metallica. And the third thing she learns is that you have some passion behind you.
Yeah.
And you're an interesting person. Okay, so number three is end
and that
the
you
story.
Take action.
And you take action. Absolutely. That you did something with that. It made something happen within you. That's super sexy. Number three, end the story. You need to make sure every story you tell has an end because all stories do. All good stories do. An end gives the woman you are talking to the feeling like it's her turn to speak and promotes conversation. So practice ending your story similarly to the way you started them. So usually, typically, I say ask. So you want to open it up by asking a question. But I actually like this example of like ways to end the conversation without having a question. So here are some examples.
Let me just cut in real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just was visiting some family in Utah, and my aunt is in her 50s, and she's divorced. She's been divorced for about 5 years, and she's just starting to date again, and she's super fun and cute, and like she reminds me of... I don't know who she reminds me of, but she's really fun. And she almost reminds me of a gay guy. And I looked at David and I'm like, hey.
He's like, I'll be your gay guy.
Because she's super talkative. She's got like a little attitude and she's playful and fun and she can be spunky and she has a good sense of humor and she's just super fun. I love her to death. And she's starting to go on these dates and she was like, you know what I noticed? She was like, none of the guys, she's like, all the guys think the dates are great. She's like, because they're talking the entire time mm-hmm. and none of them ask me questions about myself. And she's like, and it's so frustrating. And so she's like, I'm not going on second dates with any of them because she's like, I feel like I'm just there as like a sounding board so they can feel great about themselves. And she's like, I don't feel seen by any of these guys. And most of the guys she's going out with are like also divorced
yeah.
or like widowed or right. something.
You'd think they would learn after being divorced that right. that's one of the biggest issues that right. happens in a lot of relationships.
And so she's kind of seeing this one guy and somewhat, and I think she's just seeing him because she's bored and she's attracted to him. She finds him like somewhat sexy. But she showed me his text messages, and this is a huge thing that, you know, they won't have a future if he continues on this rate. And basically, she showed me his text messages, and she's like, he does not respond to anything I say. He responds with all the same things, basically. So she
He just jumped to the next conversation as opposed to responding to what's been said.
The equivalent of not listening on text.
Yeah, and I don't know if he thinks he's...
Or showing you're not listening, where you may be taking in the information.
But she tested him afterwards saying, did you hear what I said? So basically...
he's scrolling back through his text. I'm like, yes, you said this.
Yeah. So like she had said, she tried to open up and say, like, here's what I think or here's something I find interesting because he's, like, super into his toys and, like, what he likes. And so she's responding to all of it. But then she's like, here's something about me. And she sent him, like, a picture of this, like, really cool stormy sky with, like, the moon. And she's like, oh, look at the sky. It's, like, you know, really stormy and crazy looking.
Like, neat.
And he didn't respond. And he's, like, about to go, like, out on like a motorcycle ride or something like that. And then she's like, oh, cool. And then she sent him a picture of me and my aunt, her sister, who were both coming to town. And she's like, excuse my voice. And she's like, my family's coming to town. My niece is coming in from California and my sister is coming in and we're going to do this and that and this and that. And he was like, have a great night. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Didn't acknowledge anything.
And so, so she showed me all these texts. And then she said, like the next day, she's like, did you get my text about the picture of the sky? And he was like, yeah, I did. I hope it didn't storm or something like that. So it's like, it's really strange. Yeah. And it's like a gap. But she said she's gone on like 10 dates and it's been with like every single guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how a lot of men speak to each other. They talk in statements, right? They talk in logic. They're exchanging information so they can collect information about their experiences that they're having. There's no biological need for them to be able to have like emotional enhanced conversations. I mean, nowadays it is happening or it is more needed because, you know, in order for them to procreate, they have to be able to have this type of conversation with women. But yeah, a lot of men don't know how to do this. I think this is a great point. So can you tell guys
I said to her to just be straight and honest and say, hey, you're not responding to anything I'm saying.
Yeah.
I like you. I think you're fun and interesting.
I want to hear what you think about what I say. That's really what it is.
Yeah. And you just have to be forward and honest and like point it out because he probably has no idea.
Well, but what are we looking for? Like, what are women looking for in that situation? What kind of response would we like?
So I have another example that I have is a girlfriend who a guy admitted that after the first date, he was so nervous. He had been divorced and she had never been married and they went on a date and she said for the 2 hours he just talked about himself nonstop, didn't ask her one question. And she's a very forward, you know, speak her mind kind of girl. So at the end of the date he was like, this was great, we should do this again. She goes, yeah, and maybe next time you'll ask me a question
She said her line was gonna be.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's perfect.
It was great. And you know, he laughed and he said, you know, I know. He goes, I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. He felt he had to like
put on a show for her.
Yeah.
And just not have any silences.
Like not let awkward silences happen and just get it all out. Like, this is me, this is me, this is me. And they ended up going on a couple more dates. It didn't work out, but he acknowledged. And I think it was helpful that she kind of playfully brought it up. But I think something guys can definitely do is, it's almost like an exercise that we do in acting and listening, is kind of repeat back what the woman said to acknowledge, mm-hmm. and then lead it with another question. So say an example is a guy is talking to a girl. I really love the band Metallica. I like the guitar player. It taught me, you know, it inspired me to play guitar. Yeah. So then he could go on and say, how about you? Do you have a favorite band? Do you play an instrument? That, and then if a girl answers back, then he can like
repeat
what she said. And then, you know, sort of continue it. Imagine it almost like, it would be interesting if guys could imagine a date like a tennis match.
Yeah.
You know, you have to just sort of ping pong back and forth when it feels natural and not, you know, dominate the conversation. Because
if you're picturing tennis, basically she's hitting a serve, the ball's dropping, and then you're picking a ball back up and you hit your own serve.
Exactly.
And then she hits it back. Well, and you're
it's not a rally.
But we're hoping that no one's dropping it. We're hoping that they're having a nice game and they know how to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I want to read these examples of how to end your story so that it can lead to further conversation. Okay.
We're hoping they're Venus and Serena.
Exactly.
Okay, so these are ways to end the story. And that was the most exciting adventure I'd ever gone on. And that's why they're my favorite band. And that's what made Person so influential to me. And that's why Name a Venue is my favorite bar. And that's why I was so moved by the, XYZ. That's the basic concept. Also, just to be clear, identity stories should never come off as boasting and should not be fictional. In other words, don't lie, live life, and tell your stories.
I like what Sam said better because it's...
I do too.
Because that almost felt too final, like, and now the conversation's over.
And
like,
I'm going to turn around and talk. Yeah. Right. Like, or if you're at a bar and you're talking to someone and that's your starter, it almost feel like, and that's why they're my favorite band. I'd be like... I love the idea of kind of leading it to the next flowing thing. I always find that flow of like, ask them a question and turn that into a way to ask them something.
Yeah. Open-ended question.
Totally. Because then that keeps the conversation going.
Yeah. But I think you guys also brought up a really good point is that when she does share something with you,
validate.
Validate her. She does want to show that what she said was also interesting and important. She's waiting for that feedback from you. So if you don't give feedback to anything she's saying, which in her mind, she's putting who she is out there to you to see if you like her. And if you just go, well, I like Metallica. Like that means that in a subconscious way, you either didn't like what she said about herself, you didn't accept it, or you didn't have a connection to what she was saying.
Which is what your aunt experienced with the texting. Because if all he had to say was, wow, that's a beautiful picture. Is this something, do you like, whatever it is, do you like storms? Is something like this inspiring to you? Yeah. Or, whoa, that's
next time,
exciting
let's watch a sunset
that your niece
together.
And sister are coming to town. What do you plan to do with them?
Right.
Anything to acknowledge that she sent it. Because then she's like, did you even get it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I find that to be a huge complaint with a lot of women. Okay, after the break, which we're going to go to right now, we are going to dive into overanalyze this, but I wanted to give a little plug for Attract and Seduce, a four-step system for attracting beautiful, high-caliber women and becoming the most interesting guy in the room by Byron Seingold. You can get that on Amazon, so go to winggirlmethod.com/Amazon. Please use that link if you are going to purchase this book, because then we get a little kickback. It's like 3 cents, but it's still something. So go check out Byron Seingold's book, winggirlmethod.com/Amazon, and we'll be back in a second.
Playboy Radio's Play With Me.
So he's like, oh, fat chicks give good blowjobs.
I hear this. Fuck them.
So it's true. It's true that we give good blowjobs. But, I mean, I guess that's individual. But
yeah, I was
going
to say, I'd like to think I give a good blowjob too.
Right, but you're not fat, so it's not as good.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, wait, we'll have to set this up. We'll compare notes.
Right?
We'll have the same guy.
You think we're gonna have to do that?
Catch Play With Me right here.
Playboy Radio.
So Kristen and I wanted to do something special for you guys. We've been getting a lot of requests.
Well, it's more special for ourselves.
Right, exactly.
But you guys were also in mind.
Yeah. Well, always. You're always on our minds. And so,
well, sometimes.
some guys, maybe two people, wrote in and said, what goes on behind the scenes of the Ask Women podcast? What do you guys do before the show? What do you do after the show? What do you do during the show? They wanted to see what actually happens. Well, on your half, yes. Mm-hmm. It depends on who's on the show, but half the time, that is very true. And so we decided, let's get a camera crew in here and show people what actually goes on behind the scenes at the Ask Women podcast. So we have done it. We've edited it. It's kind of awesome. And we also gave you a video of a full podcast so you can actually see us instead of just hearing us. And the truth is that, yes, this is a great behind the scenes. It's wonderful because it is jam-packed with information for you. But it's also a great way to support the show and keep us on the air, because it's a motive for Kristen to make some extra cash.
Because I'm thinking about driving for Uber. So
exactly.
This is getting dire.
Kristen needs some money and we need some support for the show. So I would love for you to go get a copy of the Ask Women Behind the Scenes video, which gives you like 20 minutes, I think, of us behind the scenes before the show.
Yeah, it's basically like us kind of arriving, like what the studio looks like here at Sideshow Network.
Yeah.
So it's basically us getting here, setting up, talking about what, you know, how we, what we discussed before the show and like grabbing coffees, et cetera.
Yeah.
Super exciting stuff.
It's like,
I have no idea.
It's basically really boring, but if you're wondering like what we look like sitting at microphones and talking.
Yes. And then we have the wonderful sex with Emily. She was on the episode that we decided do this for, so she's super cute and she talks all about sex and pleasuring a woman, and it's awesome.
You can see hand gestures, which might be helpful.
I thought
for
you
guys
can see hand jobs as well. Yes, hand gestures of things to do. That would be really helpful. Anyway, if you want to support the show, if you want to check out this behind the scenes footage of the Ask Women podcast, go to winggirlmethod.com/behind the scenes. WingirlMethod.com/behind-the-scenes and get your copy of the behind the scenes video. Plus, I'm going to throw in a free copy of my best selling book, Get Inside Her.
Ooh,
I know,
cool.
Maybe a couple of other books.
And how much
too.
Is this going to be?
This is going to be $149. No. Well, we are going to be very awesome and wonderful, and we're going to sell this for $7.99. So please support the show. Please get the behind the scenes. You get a free copy of my book, Get Inside Her. Go to winggirlmethod.com/behind-the-scenes.
Please, guys, I'm desperate.
Thanks, guys.
Are you still having intercourse with her?
Oh. Now, back to the show.
You know, it's so terrible hearing your own voice.
I know.
I never listen to the show ever.
Neither do I.
Ever. And we have to sit through the commercials, which we never had to do before at right. Sideshow or Podcast One. And now we're in here and we actually listen to the ads and I haven't heard that behind the scenes thing
yeah,
before.
Yeah, we sound horrible.
And I'm like, oh my God, I am so annoying. How do you guys listen to this
I know,
show?
That was like a 20-minute commercial.
Yeah, and I'm like, turn it off.
Do you remember hearing your voice for the first time on like an answering machine? I'll never forget that because I was like, that's what I sound like?
And then you stopped talking for like a week afterwards?
Yeah. No. It was like my first time ever seeing myself on camera. I was like, that's what I look like?
Really? Oh, I think you would be like, oh yeah, that's what I look like.
I know. I'd be like, damn.
I was like, hey.
I'm good.
No, I'll watch like that 10, over and over I remember. Again. And I was like, that's what I look like. And I remember the same thing when I heard my voice because it's weird because we don't hear our voice the same way that
right,
we
that
hear
other
it
people
when,
hear
yeah.
it.
Right. Well, that's why I love getting laryngitis.
Oh, me too.
I love
having hoarse voice.
I'm someone different. I'm confident.
Yeah.
I'm like a smoker who
it's
stands
sexy.
Out and has like conversations with cool people.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Oh, like, I love laryngitis.
Same thing. Well, I think we should start listening to our show because apparently there were some sound issues on our show. So we would have caught them before our listeners would have. And hopefully for everybody who did write in, thank you. Hopefully those things have been adjusted. And now everybody who's on the show will have, I don't even know what it's called, like similar audio levels, right? Oh, David's nodding. He's like, yes, you have said that technical term correctly. Okay, let's dive into Overanalyze This, where we get questions from listeners that we answer and overanalyze to death on the show because we're women and that's what we do. Mm-hmm. If you want to send in questions, write in to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Hello, Marnie, Kristen, and guests. I've been watching and subscribe to your videos on YouTube since I moved to Vegas 3 years ago and recently started listening to your podcast for about a month.
There's a syphilis outbreak in Las Vegas, by the way.
Is
lovely.
There?
Which is like, and the sky is blue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And what else is new?
You're like, obviously, that's what should be happening.
Yeah.
But surprise, but by the way, be careful.
Yeah.
So
thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Health alert. Yes. Any more? Anywhere else?
Well, I would just assume Las Vegas, Florida.
Wait, have you seen the signs? I don't know why this is like interesting.
Yes, for Tinder?
It's like Tinder.
Basically,
syphilis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't understand the ad. Am I like the wrong demographic? I don't know what
they're saying. Like, if you use Tinder, you're going to get an STD.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's no lawsuit or something by Tinder that they can't.
Sure,
like, there's got to there be or something.
Is in some way, but that would probably bring them more attention. So
I was so confused. I was like, is this Tinder advertising this? Are they like Tinder syphilis, or is it more
get
like
it both
a
today.
Not just dates? You get STDs as well. Absolutely fun.
Seen the signs everywhere. I was like, well, this is at least I'm noticing
There's one on the way here when I drive up Highland. Huh. I see it. And it's like, it says Tinder equals gonorrhea.
Exactly.
I think that's exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, that sounds fun.
Wow.
Ma newer. Sounds great.
Maybe Bumble's posting.
See how
it.
We can turn these things into exciting conversations.
Yeah,
that we're
it is
engaged
probably
in.
Bumble, Coffee probably Meets Bumble. Bagel. It's all the other ones. Yeah.
Those are like soft STDs, though.
Yeah.
Like Coffee Meets Bagel would
ones.
Be like a cold sore.
Yeah. Right. The softer cold sores.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay, I have had a lot of success here in dating, and I've been on more dates than I can remember, thanks to you. Tinder has been very successful, apparently not for some people. however, I carry very low expectations with women and dating out here as far as relationships. Okay, good attitude, I guess. I went on a date the 1st of September. Uh-oh, sorry, we got so long. It took so long to get to this. With a girl from Tinder. She was totally my type. Same height as me. Tall, lean, athletic.
She was your type? The same height as you? I've never heard a guy say,
yeah.
Totally my type, same height.
Same build.
Same chest size.
Huge penis. Same height as me.
Saggy balls. Yeah.
Perfect
giant
for me.
Ovaries.
I've literally never heard same height ever used by a guy saying my type. Never, ever, ever.
That is funny. Okay. Tall, lean, athletic volleyball player with cute dimples and a great smile. She's very down to earth and hilarious. She's also my age, divorced with no kids. Her marriage barely lasted 2 years. We always have such a good time together and we poke fun at each other a lot. We still see each other today. This never happens to me, mostly because the previous women I've lacked interest. Two occasions they lacked interest, or I just don't stick around long enough to give them a chance. This girl hooked me. We've already had sex almost a dozen times, and it was great. I've never been more turned on and attracted to someone in my life. Now all sorts of insecurities are coming up. She has a way more prestigious job than me, making anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 more than me. I'm a tour guide and get paid well, but I put in way more hours than her for less. She has been away on business for 2 weeks. She's a pharmaceutical sales rep and is gone 4 days a week. I talk about her a lot to my brother, friends, financial advisor, parents.
It's a tour guide with a financial advisor.
Yeah.
This guy's super guy.
Good for you. Good for you. I like it. He's like making plans for the future. That's a good thing. The first week she texted me often and now they're less frequent. The last real text she sent me after not texting all day was thinking about you. Good night. The next day we exchanged a couple of pics of us of what we were doing and that was it. I'm always cautious about making sure the texts are balanced and almost treat it like a game of tennis. Oh, look at this.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Hey. Hey, apropos.
Yes. We would go in a couple of days at a time without texting, and then we did it just when we did, it was just a few words. To make matters even worse, I miss her and I was sad when she wasn't around. I'm never like this and I'm afraid that I'm getting myself up for or setting myself up for a world of hurt. I even pray and ask God for a miracle to undo these feelings because I'm not happy being this way. I get that. Like, if you've never experienced that.
Oh,
yeah.
First time,
yeah, you're just like, oh, go away. Stop feeling this way. Mm-hmm. It feels burdensome in that I like her way more than she likes me.
Aww.
It's been 2 months. What the heck should I do? Is this unhealthy? And should I break this off before it gets more painful? Or should I listen to my brother who thinks this is the best thing that ever happened to me? I've attached a few pics of what we look like in hopes that my questions get overanalyzed. I think it's always nice to put a face to in the email since you're the only ones that see it anyway. Wrong up on my website. I appreciate what you two do and I find your podcast information extremely helpful. Thank you so much, Ben Weaver. I didn't attach the pics, but I looked at them.
What a tease.
Because they're big freaking files that I have to put into a Word document, but I wrote pics look happy. So they like,
ooh, there's a lot there.
That was my note. They looked good with each other. They were holding each other close. They were face to face.
Were
the
they,
pictures,
were
like,
they good looking?
Yeah, they were cute. Okay. They were like a very cute people.
Same height?
Yes, same height, same build, same penis. Exactly. No, but they looked good with one another. They looked happy. It didn't look like a forced or fake picture where she was trying to say, like, get me out of this picture. I don't want to do this. It looked sincere and genuine and real.
Well, I don't know why he thinks that she likes him less than he does.
I picked up on something right away.
What?
So her type of job, pharmaceutical sales, I know a lot of girls that do this. They usually are very attractive girls.
Uh-huh.
Your job is to go and have dinners and drinks and schmooze with like attractive male doctors
successful,
you know, it's usually with doctors. So right away his insecurity is she makes more than him. Boom. One insecurity.
Yeah.
She's going to be now going for drinks and dinners in these different locations as
with
part
men
of her
who
job
make more money,
with men
more
who make more money than him because they are going to be making more money than her.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're gone half the week, because pharmaceutical sales, you are on the road at least four days a week. I think it can bring up insecurities in a couple that's been together for a long time.
Yeah,
so for a
definitely.
New relationship, I understand starting off from this point, you have to be really secure with each other. Lots of it. I have a lot of things to say, but I think one of them is it's something he should definitely like talk about with her right away. If he likes her and he feels comfortable, this is something he should address because I think there's a way to make him feel more secure in the relationship. And that could just mean talking maybe more, not texting, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So what would be a way for him to bring up this conversation without him becoming, because this is probably
without
his fear. He's like, if I bring this up, I'm going to scare her off. I'm going to be too needy. I'm going to be too mushy. So now I'm just going to let her take the lead and text me when she wants to interact.
Yeah, but that's going to make him more insecure. Because remember, when you're traveling, you're busy. She's out at night having drinks and dinners. Probably comes home and is tired and just wants to send a text. Because the last thing you want to do when you're like traveling and tired and busy and working is get on the phone. When you're the one home, you have more time to think about it. You're missing that person. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think without being like pushy or kind of like creepy guy, there's a way to talk to her that's flattering to her doesn't make him seem pushy.
And what is that way?
So I would bring it up if I was him and say, you know, I've been really enjoying hanging out with you, make it casual. I've been having so much fun with you. I really enjoy hanging out and I miss you when you're away. I would love to, instead of sending texts, maybe like we can FaceTime or Skype or have like a quick phone conversation. It's just like, I miss hearing your voice without making it sound like, you know, I'm afraid I'm losing you. Right. Make it a positive thing and make it like flattering to her. Because mm-hmm. I think women love being flattered. And if you make it, position it that way, she's not going to be like, oh my God, he likes me too much. It'll right. be like, wow, he thinks I'm awesome and wants to talk to me more.
Yeah, no matter what, she is sleeping with you. You're enjoying your time together. Yeah. And if you were to put something out there, like first you have to decide what it is that you would like more of or what it is that you want that will help make you more settled on what the two of you have. And then you can communicate that to her. And if she just says, yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, I don't like you enough. I can't do that. Then at least you know.
Exactly.
Right? You have to like cut out the fluff and be clear on what you want and then express it to the person. And you have to have the confidence in the fact that she's going to feel the same way as you. Or if she's not, she's going to tell you and then you're going
to
cut ties
better to
and
know.
Then you move on yeah. afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I do think he should have a little I totally understand the part of him making less money and her spending time with more prestigious people.
Yeah.
But I think he should feel a little bit more confident in the fact that she seems like she does like him.
She's yeah. choosing you.
Because she's choosing you. She's sending you a text saying, I miss you and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. I think he should go into it with a positive outlook that she does like him at least.
Yeah.
And so not to feel so fatalist or something like that in the beginning yeah. that she's going to reject him or not want him.
No,
so when he approaches her, I think he should approach with a little bit of hopefulness.
Yeah. So I agree with your friend as well. I agree with Christian. I agree with Sam.
Yeah.
You should definitely not cut this off. The only reason you'd be cutting it off is because these feelings are too overwhelming for you.
His own fears.
To handle. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. you have to be able to talk yourself off of that ledge.
And his brother's right. I mean, how often do you come across someone that you're so into
yeah.
that you're having all these feelings? It's not the worst thing that happened to you. It's the best thing that happened
yeah.
to you.
And yeah. what happens a lot of times when people do go away, you start to like exaggerate what you're feeling for that person because
that's
your
true.
Mind goes a little bit crazy. So an exercise that really helps me get out of
is
my head.
Is look at
head.
Pictures of much more attractive
right,
people.
Right, exactly.
So you realize, she's not that great.
Yeah. That actually works as well. You can do that.
Keeping yourself busy too, right? If she's
yeah.
gone for 4 days, like, and he has time on his hands, if he mm-hmm. does, go to the gym. Go, it sounds
exactly.
like he plays volleyball. Go play volleyball. Go out with friends for drinks or dinner. Like,
remember there's
social.
Life beyond her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go, exactly. And
that instills confidence too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you're not fully committed to each other, like there's no harm in going out and flirting with other girls
exactly.
and seeing like you are equally as
valuable.
Yeah. I actually agree with that because harmlessly going out and flirting and talking to other girls will boost his confidence.
Yeah.
And that will make him feel like, all right,
okay,
other
I
girls.
Got options too.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not just so fixated on this one person.
It's
good
a great
answer.
Point.
I'm sorry I didn't have the pictures, but you know what? I did put another question in that did have pictures, so I'll look for that one. But they were so big, these damn pictures. Okay, hold on. It was about a guy being bald.
Oh.
Or balding.
Ooh,
okay,
I see
here.
A picture.
Yeah, he's cute. Okay. Afternoon. Although I would like to keep this short, it will probably turn out to be a long...
Is this the bald guy?
He's not bald. Okay, so listen. So I just turned 26, and I have not had a date or talked to a woman... with the intention of dating or anything sexual within this time. My last breakup really killed me and I lost every ounce of confidence I had. Yes, very mm-hmm. pathetic, especially for that long to allow it to keep me down. About 9 months ago, I decided to try and step out of my shell and become outgoing, do my hair, dress nicer, read self-help books, and in the attempt to finally break my dry spell. But I can't speak, but I encountered a now even greater problem that has kept me down even more. I saw when attempting to do my hair, the front somewhat, thin. There were some parts that were thin in a recession of the temple. So I decided to be proactive and go to the doctor. I got on Finist. It's a hair growing product. Finasteride. I don't know. A product to make your hair thicker, which is supposed to help maintain, thicken, or possibly regrow some hair in certain cases. Mm. But since I have been on it now, about 8 months, my hair has thinned and shed a lot. Oh, no. Stop taking it then if it's having an opposite effect.
Well, sometimes if you stop taking it, then it can get even worse, I've heard.
Oh, God.
Because then your body becomes like, you know,
oh, this
fixated on it. That's like it needs it. And then once it lets go, it just I don't know.
That's but don't heard. You think that it's having like a negative effect?
It sounds like
his
like
body
it.
Isn't responding properly
or
to it.
You stress. Think
that, yeah.
Yeah, or stress about like constantly looking at your hair every single day. There are some reports that shed is supposed to happen supposedly, but it seems my hair has not stopped falling out and continue to thin massively 9 months until now. I now have no volume and can barely do anything with my hair. I have become even more self-conscious and afraid to approach a girl more than ever before. I feel in a few months, if this continues, I'm going to have to shave my head.
Oh, poor
and
guys.
This frightens me so much. I question what girl in their right mind will want to date a 26-year-old balding or bald man when there are others who without a doubt are better looking because they have their hair. I have heard from a few girls that hair doesn't matter and similar sayings, but this is not comforting and seems more of a you'll be okay saying. I have a decent job, college educated, work out, play ice hockey, read a lot, so I am not a bum by no means, but also not naive. You can't get to know someone's personality without an attraction to one's outer feature self. Feature first. So how silly am I to think my chances would even stay the same if I can overcome this issue? If I am, say, a 6 with hair, I would surely drop to a 4 without hair. This doesn't help. I will include some pics for reference if needed. But all in all, being mid-20 bald or balding, would girls care? Thanks. Jay Smigs. He's cute,
I'll
right?
I see a pic. Will you turn around?
Come over here. He's super
cute. Come walk over here.
He's super cute. His hair doesn't look that look
this
thin
is a small
there.
Pic.
It's not like a bald picture. Samantha's
see, she just said he's so,
he's so
cute.
Cute.
He's I so
I know.
Cute.
I want this
if
guy
you're
to
listening.
Okay, you're not a 6.
He's like a I hate putting numbers. He's attractive.
Yeah, he's
like an 8.5.
And he would be attractive without hair.
Yeah, he would.
Exactly.
He could pull off if he had
so here's
to.
Like a
but I'm a girl
hair.
Who has actually known
is.
Guys okay. who lost their all their hair and they're like some guys are actually more attractive.
Yeah,
when they're not
that.
Fighting the like, ooh, I'm sort of balding.
Yeah, like
when
I'm
they just shave it off and own it.
But look, what do you think he's balding?
Yeah,
this is like a full head of hair. Yes,
it's in a weird
it
shape.
Is going up. I mean, he's brushing it that way.
Oh, okay.
But like it is, you know, what is it called? Widow's peak? Like, no, not widow's peak. What is it called?
He looks like he's doing the like the John Travolta from Grease thing where he pulls down the center like curl.
Wait,
look,
he's trying to show you his power alleys. Is that what they're called?
I don't know. I've never heard of
it. My husband calls them power alleys, but that may just
like
be like his way of boosting his confidence about them. But I will say this, and I hope my husband is not listening to this.
Sorry, but if a bald guy saw this picture,
he'd be like fuck
he
you.
Would literally be like, F off, you have tons of hair. I'm not exaggerating. Whatever his name is.
He has more hair than me.
He's got tons. That's like, if that was on my vagina, it would be down to my toes. Like, that's a lot
of hair. It's a lot of hair. I know. This guy
is obviously an issue that is.
He's
like,
paranoid.
You know, people have issues and it's like, this is like his thing.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I'm guessing he had a lot more hair before and his hair was like a nice thing that he liked. My husband was all about his hair before. He had like these amazing curls and he's been really upset that he's had to cut it down really short and continuing to shave it even shorter. His hair was his thing before. And I see him every single day like looking in the mirror
my
at his hair
too,
and
by
taking
the way.
Pictures. Really?
It's
Ron
a thing.
Has good hair.
He's in the mirror every day. I see it. He's like looking and he's looking at
all guys,
pictures to see if it's receding. Yeah. It's like an obsession. So yeah. I think it's guys share this.
I would be afraid to be honest with you. It's like if women, like when they started aging, lost part of their face or something, and it was like a thing that we all had to be paranoid
do,
that like then. Eventually we lost a cheek, we'd be like, oh my God, is my cheek gone yet?
Yeah.
Is it gone yet?
Men
is it gone
know.
Yet? You know it's going to come eventually, possibly. And I
that
think
your face is going to fall off.
I think easily we'd all be paranoid. I can see maybe how he's seeing like some of the hairs getting a little bit shorter or something
in
different. A certain spot.
So tell me what you think about guys who are bald or losing their hair. What are your thoughts? Like, is it as horrible as Jay Smigs thinks it's going to be?
So my bigger concern, if I was a girl that was going to meet him, is his fixation on it.
Yeah, right.
And how much he's putting on that physical trait. Yes, I understand when you first meet a guy, you don't get to know them as well.
You'll
if you're not
go, oh,
physically
he's bald.
Attracted. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I have never, for me, hair has never been like a thing. If someone has like nice eyes or a nice smile, build is a big thing. If someone looks like they take care of themselves and have like a healthy glow, that's always been my thing.
Yeah.
If someone looks like they're like a schlump and like not, you know, well dressed and well put together and kind of like.
Have you ever talked to a guy that has a nice smile, nice eyes, and then after talking to them, you're like, ugh, I don't like this person?
Yeah, of course, personality is a huge thing. Like, you could be physically attracted to someone, and then once they start talking, voice, tone of voice even is a thing. Their laugh, the way someone smells, it's all these unknown factors that are going to attract you to somebody. And I think hair is, like, in the big pie of things, a small slice.
Have you ever dated a bald guy?
I've never dated a bald guy, but
you
I
also got married really young.
I did. But I would date a bald guy, and I'm actually less attracted to a guy who's fighting it. So someone who has, like, a receding line is a little unattractive to me, as opposed to someone who just took a razor and shaved it. I think that's
I agree with
cool.
that. I remember, I was just going to say his name, but, like, I felt really horrible for my friend in high school who was already starting to go bald when he was, like, 17 years old.
There was always a,
like,
I knew a some couple guys. Of those guys.
Yeah. And he fought it for a really long time. And I was like, just shave it. And he still has not shaved it. And it's just like, come on. Like, it makes it look worse. I think I agree with you. I'd rather there's so many guys who shave their head. Yeah. And like there's so many guys who are 18 who shave their head. So it's not like, you know, frowned upon to shave your head if you're 26.
Unless you're super racist. Right. You know, like then it might be weird to shave your head right away.
But if this guy's carrying this energy with him, that is gonna be the thing that's gonna make a girl unattracted. Because if that's his confidence level really low.
Well, you can hear in the rest of his, in the way that he writes about himself.
If he thinks he's this number and then he's going to be that number, like he's so fixated, I think, on these, like, I'm being like a
I'm guessing these self-help books are not working for you, and you might need to go check out my program, How to Become a Man Women Want, so that you can actually gain real confidence that isn't just, short-lived or, you know, only available to you in certain moments.
Yeah.
That's what I hear going on, that you don't really like yourself very much. And so you're fixating on one thing that you think may have a huge impact on women. But what's really having an impact on women is the fact that you're fixating on this one thing. Because what it does is it disconnects you. If you're in a conversation with a girl and all you're thinking is she's looking at my head, she's looking at my balls.
You're not even listening to her.
Yeah, you're not listening
to her,
which is a huge thing we talked about in the first half of the show.
You're not present.
So, so shave your head if you're really that concerned about it. Although
he does not need to
shave your head.
Wear a hat. Like there's so many.
You got a full bush on your head.
He does. He has a full bush. But we are going to have Howie Mandel so we can talk to him because he used to have
big, a sexy bald man.
He's a sexy
curls,
bald man.
And now he's totally bald.
Yeah. And
he
we both said he was sexy
process.
After.
Yes.
And he's 60.
Yeah, he's 60. You would have no idea. He dresses like me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like.
Like a young person or like a
young
man?
Boy. So, but we can talk to him and see what the process was that he went through.
Oh, for
but
sure. I know, that's a good idea.
I know that it's very expensive, but if it is something that really bothers you, hair plugs are they've advanced from like the 90s of when you see like staples or something in the guy's forehead. They've advanced.
I have a friend who got them.
I know someone who got
them.
They look good. They look great. You have no idea. I mean, it takes about a year for them to come in fully, and you kind of have to be.
He looks great with his. Yeah. He actually has like a cool that faux hawk style going, and that's where he was actually balding. He was missing the whole middle section. And I just saw some pictures of that, like, cool, like, longer in the middle, Beckham style thing.
What do you think about guys who get plugs?
Totally cool.
No, but really, what, like, when
I think it's
are
fine.
You staring at them when you talk?
Like, well,
if you can tell, like,
but
like
if
John
you know
Travolta.
Them as bald Jeremy, and then suddenly he walks in with a full head of hair.
Well, it's not really possible, I think. I mean, of what I know about plugs, it's not like you can't go Howie Mandel and then all of a sudden have, like, a full head of hair. You can't do that. You have to be a candidate. So it's like you have to have hair that will grow, and it's usually guys that have thicker hair already, but have spots that they can fill in. So it's like you're never going to go from being super, super, super baldy guy. Like Larry David could never all of a sudden have hair.
Right. That would look weird.
And it would look weird. and if they did, it would look fake. So you have to be a candidate. And it's a process. It takes you don't go from having no hair to hair. It takes like a year and a half to 2 years to grow in completely.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's like knowing a guy did anything, right? I think we see those things as effeminate, right? If a guy has, you know, a nose job or gets hair plugs, it's like he's women, it's okay. We do these things to our bodies as we age. Mm-hmm. But I think we judge men for whatever it is. And I think, you know, like I know guys who have gotten different things done and
I feel
if
like in the first
good,
few moments when you see them, it's all you can think about is like, wow, you got plugs, or oh, wow, you got like lap band or something.
But again,
and then
again,
you talk to them and it's forgotten afterwards.
Exactly. Because if they're confident and look good in their own body and feel good in their own body, then they're going to like ooze confidence and that's sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Steve Carell has hair plugs.
Has hair plugs?
Has hair plugs. Matthew McConaughey has hair plugs.
Totally. Yeah, you could tell.
Daniel Tosh has hair plugs.
And he shaves his head too, doesn't he?
Daniel Tosh?
I thought he
no,
was like shaved
he just has short hair.
Because okay. Matthew McConaughey was fully...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, losing his hair.
Power alleying.
Brendan Fraser has hair plugs. Mm. Jude Law has hair plugs. You know, so it's like, I mean, John Travolta, but his are terrible.
Yeah, his are. Don't go Jude Law's mind. Look good then, because I never would have known. But he yeah. also was getting
He was
that.
Getting he huge Widow's Peak, yeah.
Super Widow's Peak.
Or not Widow's Peak, that power alley.
But for me, I'm totally pro if it makes you feel better about yourself and you can do it, fucking do it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Good place to end on. Anybody who wants to write in questions to ask, to overanalyze this, write them into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Thank you, Samantha Goodstadt, for being on our show.
Thanks
you are
for
wonderful.
Having me.
Tell people where they can get in touch with you and watch your amazing videos.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can follow me on Twitter @Goodstadt, GUTSTADT. Same with Instagram. And you can find me on Facebook. I post videos there, too. And I have a website, SamanthaGoodstadt.com. And on YouTube, just type in Samantha Goodstadt. You'll see lots of my videos. Mm.
Seamless branding.
There we go.
It's perfect. Anybody who does want to be on the show for 5 consecutive weeks, please write into ask@askwomenpodcast with the subject line, help a brother out. We want you in studio with us, or we want you on the phone with us, and we want to change your lives with women. So please write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Subject line, help a brother out. You guys are fantastic. You're awesome. Please download new episodes of the Ask Women Podcast every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Or just subscribe so you don't have to do any work. We will see you guys next week.
And go to wingirlbythe.com/givekristenmoney.
Yes. No, give. Is that what it was?
Give Kristen money.
Okay, perfect. Give Kristen money. wingirlbythe.com/givekristenmoney. Bye.